Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. And today we're looking at what's next for Walmart after they reported their quarterly results last week. And then we're taking a look at what to expect from their rival and fellow retail giant Target, who is set to report their quarterly earnings later this week. But before we get into any of that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcasts@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. So as I mentioned, we're going to quickly go over some of the simple top and bottom line stuff from Walmart last week, and then we're going to get into more of the details and then see what maybe to expect further down the road. So Walmart's adjusted earnings came in at $1.27 per share, which topped our Zacks consensus estimate that called for $1.21 per share. This did, however, mark a 1.6% decline from the year ago period, and this is due largely to the fact that they reported lower operating income, which has been hurt by its Flipkart acquisition, which is now included in all of this. But going further down the road, that Flipkart purchase could be a big growth driver. It's a big Indian-based e-commerce retailer, so down the road, that will likely pay off. So their earnings have been hurt by that recently and will continue to be hurt by that. But going forward, it'll be most likely very worth it in the long run, especially as that country continues to grow that middle class. And then meanwhile, its total revenues climbed 1.8% to just over $130 billion. And this roughly matched our estimates and came in above Q1's as well. On a currency-neutral basis, Walmart revenue jumped even higher, up 2.9%. And then this is what people continue to look for Walmart and every other retailer, and that's their comps growth. So Walmart's U.S. comps climbed 2.8%, which topped our key company metrics, which called for roughly 2.6%. So some solid comps growth as well. It was interesting to note that people reacted positively, even though this marked the slowest comparable store sales growth in the last five quarters. But the positivity likely came from the fact that this 2.8% growth came on top of the year ago period's 4.5% comps expansion. And Walmart noted that its U.S. comps surged 7.3% on a two-year stack, which they said was their strongest growth in more than 10 years in that category. And then as well, this is what everyone is pointing to for Target and Kroger and all of these big retailers and retailers in general. Its U.S. e-commerce sales were up 37%, with grocery sales helping drive that growth. And then this quarter and recent quarters have really helped to show that for the longest time, people were worried that Amazon's quick expansion, its purchase of Whole Foods, was going to slowly hurt these big brick-and-mortar retailers. But Walmart has continued to prove that it's not only fighting off Amazon, but it's performing very strong as well. The company noted that they're gaining market share and they're on track now to exceed their original earnings expectations for the year. And this is from the CEO of Walmart saying that last week. On top of that, they're now offering, which is leading to all this growth, and a slew of delivery and pickup options. Walmart surpassed 1,100 locations for grocery delivery. There's more than 2,700 stores that they offer pickup. Their next-day delivery from Walmart.com now covers about 75% of the U.S. population, according to them. And they're also on track to roll out free next-day delivery options on orders that meet specific requirements. They laid that plan out in June. They're also launching in-home delivery service, which some people are very skeptical about. They don't necessarily want people coming inside their homes with various codes and based on security systems, but we'll see what the reception is to that. But in general, they've beefed up their delivery, they've beefed up their pickup, and they've also slowly expanded into other brands. They've bought up over the last couple of years other smaller brands such as Jet.com, as I mentioned, that Flipkart, the Bonobos, other smaller retailers, Moose Jaw, just to expand their reach with some smaller companies that are getting more people in stores, not necessarily in stores, but more customers that they might not have reached before. It's part of this growing trend to have their own more fashion forward, and not that there had kind of been a stereotype against Walmart that it wasn't necessarily a place where more mid-level people, it was considered a retailer for people who were on the lower end of the earning spectrum in the United States, to put it as nicely as possible. But now they're rolling out more offerings that might be on level with Target, which has consistently attracted more of that upper echelon of society, you could say, even though obviously not billionaires aren't necessarily shopping at Target, but that's their goal. And then so on top of all that, I want to quickly mention just some overall e-commerce numbers and physical retail numbers, because there's this narrative out there that Amazon and e-commerce is taking over brick and mortar, and obviously brick and mortar stores are closing, but e-commerce still isn't necessarily as big a portion of the overall market as people might expect. So these are coming from census data, U.S. Census Department data. So in the first quarter of 2019, e-commerce sales increased roughly 12% from the same period last year, while total retail sales increased 2.7%. But we should note that e-commerce sales in the first quarter of 2019 accounted for just 10% of total retail sales. So it's not, there's still 90% of retail businesses in the United States are happening in brick and mortar stores, which is great for Walmart, because they're now getting, they're rolling out their e-commerce more than ever and their delivery options, but still so much business is being done at these brick and mortar locations. So that's a good thing to note as well. And then overall, shares of WMT are now up roughly 21% in 2019. That this outpaces Amazon's 18% climb and the S&P 500's growth as well. And then the same fact is true over the last 12 months, with Walmart stock up 14%, with Amazon actually down 6%. So that might surprise some people. So as I said, that story that Walmart was going to get edged out by Amazon certainly hasn't proven true just yet. And there's obviously a little bit of concern that the ongoing trade war will hurt companies such as Walmart, and that is at least now going to maybe not be the case through the holiday shopping season. There was worries that when the Trump administration a couple weeks ago said they were going to add on more tariffs, that it was going to really hurt those consumer-facing goods, but they've now suspended those plans to impose new tariffs on about $156 billion of goods until at least December 15th, and that was going to be tariffs on items such as toys and cell phones and laptops. So that holiday shopping season seems to be at least worry-free for now for consumers as well as shareholders of Walmart as well. So looking ahead, Walmart now expects U.S. comparable sales for the full year to grow at the upper end of its previously forecasted range, which was for 2.5 to 3%. And then we should also note that it seems pretty obvious that Walmart pays an annualized dividend. It's currently paying an annualized dividend of $2.12 per share, with a yield of about 2% at the moment. And this could make Walmart even more attractive, as the yields on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note have slipped to big lows. That yield curve inversion happened last week, sent markets railing the wrong direction. And so we'll see maybe now more people jump back into some of these dividend paying stocks that also give them exposure to growth. Because as I mentioned, with those yields so low on the 10-year treasury, they rested at roughly 1.58% through morning trading Monday. Amazon or Walmart's currently paying a yield of 2%. So there you go, right there. There's a reason to own Walmart shares, with also getting that big growth exposure as they prove their delivery and e-commerce expansion has really paid off. And then even though there are some worries of a global economy, economic slowdown, the U.S. consumer sales data doesn't really seem to show that people in the United States are worried about that just yet, because the U.S. Commerce Department announced last Thursday that retail sales climbed a seasonally adjusted 0.7% in July from a month earlier. This came in well above economists' expectations. And the overall, with excluding auto sales, it was up even stronger at 1%. And then overall consumer spending increased 1.8% in the May through July period. And then if we quickly just look at what our current estimates are calling for the third quarter, we're calling for U.S. comps to climb around 3.2%, which would top last quarter's 2.8%. And come in on top of the year ago period's 3.4% comps growth. So we're looking for even stronger comparable sales growth in the third quarter, which could help continue to drive Walmart stock, which has performed very well, not only in 2019, but over the last 12 months as well. And now I want to move on to a Target rival, which is operating a very similar business model, or a Walmart rival, which is operating a similar business model, which is Target, because they are set to report their Q2 2019 financial results on Wednesday morning, August 21st. And like Walmart and Kroger and Costco, Target has expanded its e-commerce and mobile ordering and delivery and all of these buzzwordy things, and they have also proved to be relatively effective. Target stock was up 3% through morning trading on Monday to around $87 per share, which is just off its 52-week highs of just over $90 a share. In today's jump was part of a broader bounce back from all three major U.S. indexes, but it also came after the Minneapolis-based retailer announced its new Good and Gather brand, which it's calling its largest owned food and beverage brand. This is a quote from the press release that came out this morning. The flagship brand will offer a wide range of food and beverage products that prioritize taste, quality, ingredients, and ease at a great value. Good and Gather will be available in stores and online at Target.com for same-day delivery beginning September 15th. And yeah, as I mentioned, Good and Gather is going to be Target's largest own brand, and by the end of 2020, it will include, this is all from their press release, more than 2,000 products across food and beverage, from dairy to produce, ready-made pastas, meats, granola bars, all of that, sparkling water. And then for those of you who do shop at Target, you know that they already have their own brands that sell that kind of thing. So slowly, they're going to expand this reach, and they're going to slowly phase out existing Target brands, which are Archer Farms and Simply Balanced. Yeah, and they're just going to make this their big one-size-fits-all Target brand for food. And this is part of Target's larger push to have its own in-house brands that really have served them well overall. So now I want to, before we get into kind of what else they've done to drive sales over the last several years, I want to just talk a little bit about what the company on a bigger scale is doing. So roughly 1,800 stores, it's improved its digital business. The company, similar to Walmart, offers free two-day shipping on most of its items. Its drive-up service has expanded to over 1,100 locations. It's also redesigned stores, opened smaller locations in college towns, urban areas. And this is not necessarily a newer trend, but Target has beefed up these partnerships. They partner with trendy brands for these kind of one-time sales rollouts Target has become kind of a place for that college-educated person who might not be the richest people in the world, but they're that upper-middle-class customer. It's Target run and done, or their commercials. You'll see it all over social media that people go to Target to get a couple things, they end up spending hundreds of dollars. It's a little cliched, but it has become a store that has a lot of brand value for, as I said, that upper middle class, college educated person, especially in urban areas, which is a good clientele to go after. And then over the last several years, we've talked about it, that they've already launched 20 different private label brands to attract those core customers. The firm noted that 57% of its customers are college graduates. They have a median household income of roughly $64,000. And then this was an interesting breakout of just 2018 sales, where it's all coming from for Target. So 24% is coming from its beauty and household essentials, 20% from food and beverage, 20% from apparel and accessories, 19% from home furnishing and decor, and the other 17% coming from hard lines. And as I mentioned, Target digital comp surged 36% in its last fiscal year. So that's that growth for 2018. And this was its strongest sales growth in that category since 2005. And then we should also note that they, as I mentioned, they've done all these collaborations. They're now celebrating this fall their 20th anniversary of these collaborations with different designers. Over the last several years, they've done partnerships with Hunter Boots, which is a high-end company, Vineyard Vines, things like that. They have a long-term deal in their home and decor section with TV star Chip and Joanna Gaines. So it's all of these little things that Walmart's slowly trying to emulate as well, that it's relatively cheap prices, but the things look good. It has that cheap price tag, but it looks like it's maybe more expensive than it actually is. And then we should note that last year its comparable sale, or last quarter, its comparable sales grew at 4.8%. On 4.3% traffic growth. Its digital channel sales were up 42%, and that's on top of the year ago period's 28% growth. And then total revenue was up 5% to $17.6 billion. So that's some strong growth there as well. And as a little bit of a side note, just to give people a sense, and this is anecdotal as well, but I thought for the longest time that Target had really done a good job of appealing to women in terms of fashion as well, but I would go in there and not see anything that would really, I would consider buying for myself. But I would say over the last year, they have definitely rolled out more of a mix of something I would say you'd see at a J. Crew or something like that, mixed with, in my opinion, sort of an Urban Outfitters vibe. So they get the people 35 and under, then they also get those 21-year-old and under people as well. So I have bought some stuff there recently that, and I guess this might sound a little, I would consider myself, I at least care about fashion in general. I might not be the most fashionable guy, but I wouldn't buy something, as I said, at Target even a couple years ago, but I've definitely bought some things from Target recently. So that's just an anecdotal side of how they've been able to attract maybe people they hadn't been able to get recently. And then, so I want to now quickly look ahead to what we're calling for the second quarter. So our key company metric estimates are calling for 2.8% comps growth, which would come in below Q2, but this is coming in on top of nearly 5% expansion in that category in the year ago period. So some really strong continued comparable sales growth for Target, similar to Walmart. So some strength there. And then overall, we're calling for revenue to jump roughly 3.1% to around $18.3 billion. And then we're calling for 9.5% on the bottom line growth. So some solid bottom line growth. For the full year, we're calling for 3.6% growth with nearly 10% growth on the bottom line, and then an additional 3% growth in that following fiscal year with an additional nearly 7% growth on the bottom line as well. We should note that Target is currently a Zacks rank number 2 by stock, and this is based mostly on its positive earnings estimate revision activity. So definitely pay attention to Target's earnings this Wednesday and look for some guidance and see if they say anything new about the holiday shopping period. And then we should also note that Walmart and Target have performed very well, and this is coming in contrast to Macy's and JCPenney, which those department stores that had been booming businesses for years and years have really struggled to perform well in this e-commerce Amazon era. So it's definitely good to see that people thought for the longest time maybe that big retailers like Target and Walmart would kind of fall slowly to the wayside as Amazon encroached further on this business, but they've definitely proved that through their growth-focused initiatives, they've been able to stand out and not just float along at the same level, but expand their market share and expand that client base and really be able to grow revenues. And we should also note, just for people who are paying attention to this big retail space, which is the last big sector of companies that still have to report Q2 earnings results, we have other retailers such as Nordstrom's, Gap, Foot Locker, Home Depot, TJX, Lowe's, L Brands, and Dick's Sporting Goods all reporting their quarterly results later this week. So it's definitely a big week for retailers, and Walmart and Target have certainly proved that they are retailers worth watching out for, not only right now, but in the years to come as they compete on this big scale against not only Amazon, but other competitors such as Kroger and Costco. And that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Rains. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.